Brother Tim Fuller preached. His daddy was a pastor. He said a missionary came to the church. He had two sons, and he said, we started spending a good bit of time together. He said, my dad immediately picked up on some changes going on in me, and my dad sat down with me and said, son, I'm going to start limiting your time and your access to that fella. He's teaching you things you don't need to know. And Brother Tim Fuller, 50 years old, stood in the pulpit with tears in his eyes. He said, I will forever be grateful that as a 14-year-old boy, my daddy put some guidelines in my life and said, you don't need to hang around him. Look with me, please, in Philemon, and we'll read verses 8 through 11. Philemon, verses 8 through 11. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Let me explain a little bit what he's saying there. Philemon owed Paul for the spiritual help he had received. Philemon's servant had escaped, had run into Paul in the city of Rome, and got born again. So Paul is telling Philemon, his friend, he's saying, the truth is, I need Onesimus more than you do. And so what he's saying in verse 8, for us, we get a little bit lost in the King's English. He's saying, I could put a little pressure on you and pull rank on you and tell you that I'm keeping him. And I'm sure as close as we are, you'd be okay with that. Okay, that's what he's saying. But he's saying, I'm going to be a gentleman and I'm going to ask you, let me just go ahead here and show you another one of Paul's personality traits. You say, Brother Ames, I thought it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. It was, but the Holy Ghost also knew the human instrument that he was using, okay? Look at verse number 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. That was, if he owes you anything, put that on my account. I'll pay it. He said, and I'll pay it. Albeit, or however, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me thine own self beside. He just said what he said he wasn't going to say. Okay, now all the women are looking real innocent. You do this all the time. And I didn't hear one amen from any of the henpecked men, okay? Hey, ladies do this, it comes very naturally to them. See, somebody help me, okay? Don't get upset with me on Father's Day. Good night. But Paul said, I'm going to pay anything he owes you, but I'm also not going to say how much you owe me, Philemon. I'm not going to say that. Brother Paul, you just said it. Okay? You say, Brother Ames, what's the point of all that? God didn't hide their personalities. God worked with them, God worked through them, and God will you. Everybody says familiarity breeds contempt, and people roam around looking for the perfect church and pastor. Just forget it. Just fall in love with Jesus and work with it. Work with who God's put you with, but you know, and love each other and pray for each other. I tell you what'll bond you together is going through some trials together and working through some hard times. Okay, verse number 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. I'm not going to put pressure on you. I'm just going to beg you. For I, being such a one as Paul the aged, I'm now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for, please look at the next two words, my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Okay? I'm keying in on the two words, my son. And we're going to look at the other passages where Paul claimed fathership of those he had ministered to spiritually. And before I do that, what I want you to understand is this. We say it here often that we're a family, and we are. Let me tell you something. The devil knows that, and the devil hates that, and the devil fights that. And the Bible says in Corinthians, we are not ignorant of his devices. And when the devil puts thoughts in my heart and mind toward a family member or somebody in the local body of believers that God has made me a part of, I need to be aware of the fact that that is the enemy. And I have said it so many times, if a man who talks too much or a man who doesn't talk enough or a lady who talks too much or a lady who doesn't talk, if the devil can use any of that to separate me from the body of believers I'm supposed to be a part of, I can promise you one, Naples, as far as I know, that's the closest church. Let me tell you what, they've got all four of those there. And I can go down to Mills River and they've got all four of those there. Okay, and when God moves somebody, let him move you. But don't let the devil do it by putting dumb thoughts in your head. Okay, we live in the throwaway culture. Okay, everything. Okay, family, you name it. And don't buy into that. Don't buy into that. And I want to look at the love of a father that Paul had. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. We're going to look at the places where Paul made it clear that he loved people the way a father would. And it's going to be a little sobering at times. It's going to end real sober, but that's okay as well. I want it to speak to all of us, and I believe it will. But in particular, I want it to speak to our daddies, whether or not the children are grown and out of the home, or you're in Matthew's shoes and starting a family. And I've sure been encouraged by the young families and couples that have been coming consistently. A church needs that. And that's been a blessing to me. I know with Father's Day, there'll be some moving around and different schedules and people going to church with the family. And we understand all that. But a church, okay, can everybody agree time flies? Okay, I came here in 2011. That does not seem real. Okay, the 16-year-olds now were 6-year-olds then. You're all going, preacher, we can do math. I get it. Okay. I'm just here to remind you, time flies. Renee sent me and Chris a meme the other day. I'm not sure what she was implying, but it said, it is terrible being the same age as old people. And I remember my dad saying the same thing. And Brother Willis has said the same thing. They were at a restaurant and somebody came over. I mean, Brother Youngblood, they were on their last leg and said, how you doing? Said, we went to school together. And he went back to his table and Brother Alfred looked at Sister Lenora and said, do I look that bad? So I'm just telling you, time flies. John, can't stand up, Caleb. Turned 12 2 weeks ago, right? John, do you realize what you got on your hands? 6 years from 18, 8 years from 20. I'm just doing a little math. We're doing a little math game here. Okay, your kids are going to grow up fast. Okay, and we need to understand what God says to fathers, okay? So look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my, and here's the words, as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, okay, listen to me, everybody listen to me. Yeah, and boy, I think that was prophetic. I think what if he'd have wrote it today, he'd have said, because you have 10,000 podcasts, and they're not all bad. Okay, back in the day, it would have been a cassette. Okay, I just dated myself. You may have a bunch of people that you enjoy listening to and they help you. Paul makes, he doesn't pull any punches in saying, you've got a bunch of people that are teaching you. Here's what he said, Miss Gloria. He said, you got one daddy. This message is not here to lift me up. I'm just here to tell you, Paul said, I'm the one who pointed you to Jesus when nobody else cared. Paul just came right out and said it. He said, you've got 10,000 instructors, but you've got one father. For in Christ Jesus, I have... Okay, he's very discreet, but he is very pointed. I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Number one, you daddies, listen to me. Church, listen to me. Because we all know that families and homes are in such a mess these days. Oftentimes, the church has to step in and be that. I don't fight it. I embrace it. I love it. I love it. I told you a year and a half ago, and I wasn't just blowing smoke. I said, I'm not sure God's not, I wouldn't be better suited in a rescue mission. And I wasn't trying to be humble or anything like that. I'm just telling you, our Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor says, send me the worst you've got. We're going to love them and teach them and train them. And God's done a pretty good work here in this nation, hasn't he? And I believe he can do it at this church. Number one, Paul said, I love you so much. As a son, I am going to warn you. And I'll be real clear. Here's what the context is talking about. Here's what, if you'll look back earlier in chapter 4, he said, all of these men who were attacking my credentials, all of these who were saying I'm not even worthy to be an apostle, which he made it clear he didn't think he was. He said, let me tell you something. Here's what Paul said. He said, I've proven myself. And what he was warning them about was false teachers and false prophets. And a daddy is going to do that. A daddy is going to warn those children, those young people, those offspring, be careful who you're hanging around with. Brother Tim Fuller preached last week. His daddy was a pastor in Eastern North Carolina at that point in their life. He said a missionary came to the church and set up a camper and kind of worked that Eastern North Carolina area and using that their church as a home base. And he said he had two sons. One was about my age. The other one was a few years older. And he said, we started spending a good bit of time together. He said, my dad immediately picked up on some changes going on in me. And my dad sat down with me and said, son, I'm going to start limiting your time and your access to that fella. He's teaching you things you don't need to know. He's teaching you words you don't need to hear. He's exposing you to music you don't need to be around. And Brother Tim Fuller, 50 years old, stood in the pulpit with tears in his eyes. And here's what he said, Brother Ethan. He said, I will forever be grateful that as a 14-year-old boy, my daddy put some guidelines in my life and said, you don't need to hang around him. And he took it one step further, parents. He didn't just say you don't need to. He said, you're not. I hope everybody in here had the blessed privilege of growing up with parents who didn't care if they hurt your feelings. I am so tired of this this culture that we're in right now. You know, I'm afraid I'll make her cry. My parents were not mean and abusive. They didn't care if they made me cry. They didn't jump on the teacher time out and say, he's so tenderhearted and you don't know how to deal with him. No, he's not tenderhearted. He's manipulative. We live in a messed up world. And boy, everything's all about your feelings and all. I heard a preacher say one day, he said, one crying woman could split most churches. Because when somebody sees somebody cry, they just go all to pieces. How many times did I hear this? Dry it up. Now, this is Ben, I need somebody to help me. This is politically incorrect in 2021. But I was told, dry it up or I'm going to give you something to cry about. And as far as I know, I am functioning normally and a productive member of society. Are y'all with me? Brother Youngblood, did you ever hear that? Dry it up or I'll get... There we go. Okay, so raise your kids that way and you'll get a Wayne Youngblood. Come on now, we need to raise some kids with some care. I read this, now I don't know, we may talk to our own Marine one day when he comes back from Isle of Palms or wherever he's at. I read that they were 2 years ago, and I read this, it wasn't Abraham Lincoln said it on the internet, so it had to be true. They said they had little wristbands for the recruits, and if they got stressed, they could switch it to the other hand or something, and the DI would back off because they were feeling stressed. I'm telling you, my PE teacher in sixth grade didn't care if I felt stress. You remember that rope you used to have to climb? I still ain't climbed it. I don't know if my coordination is not right. I don't know what you gave, what you passed through me to Adam. Okay, he's knocking home runs and all this foolishness. Adam's dad didn't get that. And that PE instructor didn't care that I couldn't climb that rope. He said, climb it. And I'd get up about 2 feet and then rope burn all the way down. He said, try it again, Reigns. Come on now. We're raising a soft culture. We're raising a soft culture. Paul warned people that he loved. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to warn you about this. Y'all follow me? Okay, that's what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. That's what our daddies are supposed to do. And God forbid, if there's not a daddy in the home, somebody's got to step up to the plate. Look in verse number 17. So Paul said to the children of the church, the people of the church at Corinth, he said, I'm going to warn you. Look at verse number 17. For this cause have I sent unto you, everybody say the next word, Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach. Look at that next word. Everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come unto you. Does it help you and encourage you to know that they had puffed up members 2,000 years ago? Sometimes I'll get with preachers and they'll go, it ain't never been this way. It's never been this way. I'm like, have you read Paul's letters? He dealt with everything we're dealing with. I still think you ladies ought to be glad you're not Syntyche and Euodius. Okay? He is writing a letter. He is in rich doctrine. And right in the middle of it, he goes, by the way, tell Syntyche and Euodius to get on the same page. Buddy, I'll bet somebody on the other side of the church raised up and looked over there and said, I told you. I promise you that they weren't any different than we are. Preacher Raines told me this 4 years ago. He said, people are people wherever you go. He was preaching in New Mexico. There was a pastor and two families in the church. The two families in the church were fighting because of something somebody wrote on Facebook. You got one pastor, two families that are members, and they're not getting along over Facebook. Can that not be replayed in every state in the union? And then I said, how's the meeting going? That's what he told me. His next text said, people are people wherever you go. And people are people in Philippi. People are people in Corinth. Okay? So what I want you to see is that dad is going to witness. Look at verse number 17. Why did Paul send Timotheus there to the church? Why did he do that? To be a witness. Now, you daddies, listen to me. You can talk a good talk, and independent Baptists are real good at it. Our children, and I believe there's going to come a point when they've got to decide if your God is going to be their God. And I understand training up in the way they should go. I say understand it. I want to. That was my goal with mine. I'm just here to say my children, and I'll go so far as to say the members of this church, ought to be a witness of what you're hearing from the pulpit. I have heard this. I have heard it said that churches take on the personality of the pastor. Now, we might have a mass exodus today. Somebody going, I'm not taking on that personality, okay? He needs meds. Dad used to say this to me when I was a teenager. We'd watch a father and a son going into Pete's to get a hot dog or the Taylor's Hardware store. And he'd say, watch that daddy and his son. He'd say, the son walks just like his daddy. He sits, if his dad leans over the plate when it's time to eat, you'll watch the son lean over. If the dad sits up straight, he said, watch that father and that son. Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, I am sending Timotheus, and Timotheus is going to tell you two things. Look at what Timotheus was going to witness. He said in the end of verse number 17, I'm going to teach you my ways, which be in Christ. We brag in these days about this. I'm not, don't say amen, okay, because you'll think I'm setting you up, and I'm not. We brag and say this, I'm not following a man, I'm following Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. My contention is this, Brother Michael, I've believed this my whole life. We're all following somebody. I look back, Brother Harold, at the church I grew up in. I don't even know why I posted this. Probably 4 weeks ago. I don't know what I'd seen, what I'd heard, what I'd read that brought this to my mind. But I wrote this post on my Facebook page. I said, I don't remember a lot of specifics from my junior boy Sunday school teacher who happened to be him. By specifics, I mean particular lessons. I said, or my junior high boys teacher who went to be with the Lord in January. Or the high school boys teacher who I saw yesterday. Now watch me now. I said, I don't remember specific words, lessons, phrases. I said, but I do remember being profoundly aware that they all loved Jesus. And that there were grown adult men in that church who loved Jesus. And then I closed and said, for that I will always be grateful. The truth of the matter is, I hope I've taught you something in 10 and a half years. You're not going to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, quiz time. What did I preach last Sunday? The Bible. Matthew remembered. Okay, he said he did. You follow me? I mean, I'll ask my wife. She'll say, honey, don't ask me that question. Somebody will ask me, and I'll say, you're asking the wrong person. I've slept since then. But I promise you, when these kids are, and I hope they'll all stay in the right way, but the truth of the matter is, 40 years from now, if the Lord hadn't come back, they're going to remember that there were men, grown men, scattered all across the auditorium who loved Jesus and came here instead of the lake. Came here on Sunday instead of DuPont. You see what I'm saying? You know, we're like, oh, I got to say something profound. No, just come and let everybody know you love Jesus. Let's just start there. The Bible and the Christian life is profound enough. And Paul said, I'm sending Timotheus, and Timotheus is going to let you know that what you heard me say is what he's also heard me say at a dozen different places. Timotheus is going to witness for you. Let me just drop it down a little closer to where we live. I'm not being ugly, but I want to make a point. I've used this illustration before, but I want to use it. I believe it'll help somebody. I've seen a daddy or a mama shout or testify or have an expression of joy at church. And I've watched kids, Miss Beverly, giggle. Or I've seen siblings look at each other and roll their eyes. Listen to your preacher, something's wrong. Because I've also seen a parent or a grandparent in love on Jesus, worship Him, shout, testify, cry, and a kid who maybe didn't show a whole lot of spiritual interest, dabbed their eye with a Kleenex. They weren't necessarily real spiritually in tune themselves, but they knew mom and daddy were real. Your children, parents, ought to know you're real. I don't think there's a kid in this auditorium who expects perfection out of mom and dad. I never did. That never crossed my mind. We were too real at our house to expect perfection out of anybody. But there weren't two Larrys and two Norma Jeans. There wasn't a preacher voice Larry and a daddy voice Larry. Y'all follow me? I'm telling you, it'll strengthen our homes if our kids know we're real. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said, I'm sending Timotheus to you, and he's going to tell you about my ways. Timotheus is going to tell you how I live. And I love this. He said, I am consistent and I am comprehensive. He said, I don't have one message for the church at Corinth and another message for the church at Galatia. I tell you what I love about my Bible. I can be in a holler in West Virginia, or I can be in a cotton field in South Georgia. I can be in a mango grove in the Philippines. I can take this Bible and open it in any culture and it works. You can build homes. You can build lives. You can raise children. You can resolve conflicts. This Bible works.